Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Great to be with you. It is on a Tuesday. Jonathan Brown and Sam Pang after 8 o'clock joining us. Ben Brown, the Melbourne forward, to join us. Sam Edmund with all the news questions without notice. So big couple of hours coming up. We've had a massive round one of footy. It started on Thursday night. It finished on Sunday night. You've all had your say yesterday. Today is our final word. Me and the Wisp, or Wisp and I rather, have come in here. We've got about 30 final word potential issues to go through.
And we'll get through them all. But I want to start. Maybe. I want to start where you went off last night, because WA, very few people take on a whole state like you have the courage to do. You were very brave last night. I think it may have had something to do with the fact that you were wearing a Richie Beno beige type jacket on the couch. But you stood up to the mic. You looked straight down the microphone. You delivered a very, very stinging appraisal of the West Coast Eagles.
What's happened to this once feared football club that was the West Coast? And when you boys went around when they came in the competition, they came in with a confidence and an arrogance and a strut, and they didn't take a backward step to anyone. They're inoffensive. They play an outdated style of footy. They're bland. And they're only really good at one thing right now, and that's losing. They're the fifth oldest team in the competition. They're playing against a North Melbourne side coming off a wooden spoon and had it handed to them. Handed to them physically. Now, they're the rest Coast Eagles at the moment. They're resting and they're coasting.
The rest Coast Eagles.
Thank you, John.
The rest Coast Eagles. I like it. Inoffensive, bland. They're a losing team. Rest Coast Eagles. Pretty strong stuff from you.
Tim.
In all honesty, that is as hard-hitting as anyone has been in living memory. In living memory.
They're coming off a two-win season last year, right?
Yeah.
Now, there were some mitigating circumstances. I think the circumstances that are mitigating have been taken too far. We let them off the hook a bit. Okay,
yep.
You can have a year. But teams that have won two games in over the past 30 years, every single coach got sacked. Now, Adam Simpson won't because of those circumstances, but it is still a two-win season. So you got 6 months to get it right, 6 months to reflect on a two-win season, 6 months to reflect on where the brand of this football club is in the competition. Right now, they're not feared. No one fears the West Coast Eagles. It used to be the worst trip ever trying to go over the West Australia. So what happens? They come out against a North Melbourne side who are the youngest team of the year. They're the fifth eldest, right? And they lose contested possession by 37. 37, Tim.
What does that say to you?
Well, nothing changed. That says to me that they, as I said, they're inoffensive. And when I say they've become good at losing, they have become accepting of losing.
Yeah. There was a period of that game where they competed and they played hard and aggressive.
Not long.
It didn't last very long at all. That's what I'm saying. There was a period in that
game.
So
they could do it.
They could do it. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They chose for a period of that game to really want to compete, and then they decided after that that they didn't want to compete because it got a little bit too hard. I just wonder about the talent they've got available to them at the moment, though, too, which is a whole other issue regarding where they're at as a football club right now.
Okay, so this is where you've got to – so let's work out where the Eagles are at, and this is their other problem, right? So we know where Hawthorn are at, okay? They've sold this to everyone.
Yeah.
And so people are going to look at Hawthorn this year and probably next year and go, oh, well, this is the path they're going down. Yeah. We know they're going to take hits. But they're the youngest. They cleared everyone out, Tim. Yeah. West Coast are still got pain. They're the fifth eldest.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're down in the Hawthorn category. Now, at least Hawthorn turn around and say, yeah, well, we know that because we got rid of O'Meara and Mitchell and Gunston and everyone else.
Yeah.
And we're going youth. So for better or worse, love it or hate it, there's the plan. West Coast are the fifth oldest list in the competition, and they're down near there. Where are they going? Is what are they doing?
Was there anything different about the way they tried to play too? I couldn't notice it. It just looked like the same style of football that they've been playing under Adam Simpson for the last 5 years.
So 2023 footy is this. It's go forward and go forward quick.
That's the trend.
Yeah, the trend over the last 2 years has been let's move the footy. And, you know, Stephen Hawking would have had a great weekend apart from the fact that the team lost. But his mantra was get the footy moving.
Yeah.
And so inside 50s, almost the most ever on average, forward, you know, handballs, so forward handball, go forward. D50 inside 50 goes up. So for the ball movement, and this is what Steve Hawking needed, move the footy from the defensive 50 to the forward 50, tick, that's gone through the roof, and scoring from the back half. That's not the way the Eagles have played historically. They possess the footy, they go sideways, they go slow.
They're slower.
They kind of looked like they wanted to, but they never really got anywhere near it.
Okay. So, how many games are they going to win this year, do you think?
Five.
They'll play better at home, yeah?
I hope that there's a, I hope there's a response. Mm. And as I said last night, if you didn't listen, this is not a cheap try and get a headline. I'm a massive admirer of the Eagles Footy Club, the Eagles, what they stood for. What do you reckon Worsfold and Langdon and Lewis are doing watching their footy club go through the motions right now and not, you know, not take a stand? Not one player stood up against North Melbourne and said, this is not happening. You know, Jeremy McGovern and Brass, three on one in the goal square, Larky takes. Oh,
that was damning, wasn't it?
Jeez.
That was disgraceful. Well, it's going to be ringing in their ears this week because I would think that what you've had to say last night is going to be plastered over the papers in all seriousness over there in WA, and they're going to have to respond to it. I think they've got the Giants at home this week, which won't be an easy game for them either. The Dogs. Now, we learnt yesterday that Rory Lobb has had an ankle operation. He's going to be out of action for a while. He's one of their four tools. Do they abandon the idea of this already, or do they stick at it for a while, the idea of playing the tall timber down there in the forward line?
I don't think you can abandon it, just if that's what you're committing to after one game.
You've got to stick a little bit longer, don't you?
I think you've got to try. Yeah. But this is where they're at, is that Rory Lobb is like a once every five games kind of clunker, key forward that you want. Sam Darcy is a kid, so don't worry about Sam. Mm. Dougal Hagan is just out of being a kid, so he's still trying to work out how to be week in, week out consistently good. And Aaron Norton's a superstar.
Yeah.
So they've got one genuine. The other three are still for youth reasons. And the other one, as you always tell us, as you always say, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them, yeah.
So, you know, the Bulldogs could recruit Rory Lobb and hope that he's going to turn into Aaron Norton, but he ain't. He's going to be a bloke who every 3, 4, 5 weeks will have a game and go, wow.
And this is your domain, the forward line setup and the tools. It's not easy for guys to play alongside each other and understand which space they're going to get or which space they're going to be able to command.
Yeah.
Because most of them like to have a little bit of room around them, don't they?
They do. And Sam Darcy, who I think may end up being the best of all of them, or certainly go past Tamara and Rory in time, he's just like, he's still working it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not a criticism. I don't even have to say that. That's not a criticism. That's just what happens when you're a big key forward kid. You're still working out where to go and where to run and what patterns you're doing, all that sort of stuff. They've still got, they've got a lot of work.
Okay, at the other end of the ground, they had a different looking defense as well. I mean, Liam Jones got injured. He went off the ground, but you know, he was there for a little while, and Cam Bruce went back there, and then they got Lockie Keith back there. He's lost a lot of weight. Not Lockie Keith.
Alex
Keith back there as well, who's lost a lot of weight. Are they better? Do you think they're better served down back than what they are?
We didn't get
up forward.
Good look at, because Liam Jones went off with the injury, of course. But I think they're okay in the back half. I don't think they're great, but I think they're okay. Their midfield's always been their great strength, and that's also changed a bit. So now, on the back of 1 week, they're going to stick with it, although it'll be a different look. I think in the end, my philosophy with kids: start them back, all right?
Yeah.
Start them back. Always, I've been saying that for years. You know that Sheasel could have played that kid anywhere. Clarko started.
I don't think he's ever played there in his life. Didn't he say that something worse to that effect?
He went there in the last quarter against Carlton in that practice match. It was the Carlton, the Bulldogs at the practice match, and they went, oh, geez. and then he played and had 34.
The instruction was just run around, just run around and find the ball, which he did.
So I think that's where Darcy should go.
He's a beautiful kick too.
He's a jet.
Did you see some of the darts that he kicked?
Yeah, I did.
He finds the right space. He puts the right weight on the footy. Aims in a congested area where most players wouldn't pull the trigger on it because they wouldn't back themselves to be able to do that. He's got a lot of confidence. The Hawks, did they cut too deep on their list on what we saw? And I know we don't want to go over the top after one game, but they were really, really poor. Yeah. Having watched them play in that practice game against Collingwood, where I was really impressed with what they were doing, they were just terrible against Essendon.
Really interesting. Hey, join us for the final word too, if you want to have a final word on these topics, because we move on to the next round. It's on in a couple of sleeps. Thursday night kicks off again, but we're having the final word here. It's an interesting one, Hawthorn. So this great strength of Sam Mitchell is his confidence in what he is doing. He think, you know, and fair enough.
Yep.
This is where he thinks it's going. This is where he thinks footy's going. Therefore, he's going to build a list that's going to be there for footy, not maybe for this year or next year, maybe for by the third year.
So when you say building a list for where footy's going, has he made a projection that it's heading in what direction?
Yeah, I assume and I believe and I'm told that that is where that's why he makes the decisions he's making, because he thinks that footy's heading in this pretty aggressive,
attacking
mode, and therefore he's...
He needs flexible, aggressively hard-running, athletic type
ball
players.
Users, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So that's okay, but in the meantime... you're going to have a few years of pain and you're going to sit there and hope you're right.
Yeah, and you're going to have to bring people along with you
well,
too.
Well, your supporters...
And your supporters are going to have faith in what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, he won't second-guess himself. Your supporters now are sitting there on the edge of their seat going, geez, I hope our man's right. Yeah. I hope what he's doing is right, because, yeah, we can accept the pain, but we want the payoff in time. And they've got some talented kids, but they got split open. Split open, Wisp. Yeah. It was a low pressure
There was a low pressure game.
And your boys, they did what they should.
Well, they took what they were given. That's what they did.
That's a very good assessment by you. Can I write that down?
You can.
Am I allowed to use that?
Did you say Cam Bruce was playing in the back line for the Bulldogs?
Did I?
No, I did.
No, you
He
did.
Retired back in 2011. Thank you, Dom, for reminding us.
What did you say? Took what they were given.
They took what they were given.
I'm going to use that. I might use that. When can I use that next? Maybe Thursday.
Nat Fyfe, let's talk about him, because you and I both had some queries against him late last year. We watched him play run, and he was very cumbersome, and he just didn't look like he had enough. Well, I won't say energy, but he just didn't look like he had enough sideways movement about him. He didn't look like he had enough ping in his legs, all that type of thing.
Right. So you're coaching. You're an assistant coach to Justin Longmuir. You'll walk into the match committee today and you go, Justin, can I have a word?
Yep.
Yes, you can. Tim, what do you want? What's your advice for him?
My advice is to get him back into the centre at centre bounces, even if he's going to want to play him forward.
He didn't go to one.
I know. He needs to go back in there, because he's a beast in there. And you can have some other players around him that got some leg speed and some power steering, all that sort of stuff. But I was surprised. I was surprised late in the game that they didn't make that change and put him back in there. You're not going to – because he's been such a superstar champion of the game, you're not going to rule him out yet. But the signs are there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
The signs are there in his movement.
And he's not a forward. That's the other problem.
No. And, well, not in that forward line anyway.
But
they haven't fixed that problem.
No, he's not a forward. He's not a forward. His ability, his raw ability will make him – it will give him opportunities to kick goal, but he...
Why is he not a forward in your mind?
He just doesn't lead to the right spots. He can't kick. Like, his kicking for goal is nowhere near good enough to be used as a regular forward, in my opinion.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm a massive Fyfe fan. I love him, but, it's time comes for most people. He's not at that stage yet, and you don't write him off on the basis of one game, but they've got to work out how they're going to get the most out of him.
Is there anything you've seen in Scott Pendlebury over the last couple of seasons, right, and in the first game of this year, that would suggest to you that, unlike Nat Fyfe, that he's aging and he's slowing down and...
Nothing.
The game's going past him in any way.
He's a 400 gamer. He's got 400 written all over him.
He is extraordinary. I know, like, Collingwood fans will say, where you been? But we've always thought he's a great player. But now we're talking about his consistently high level of performance week in, week out at this age.
He should be going
which
the
is
other
very,
way.
Which is very rare.
Yeah, he should be going. The natural attrition says he should be going the other way, but he's not.
He's not at all.
So he's a unicorn.
That kick that he laid across his body, and he did take a quick look.
Do you think he meant that?
100%. 100%.
$100.
Yeah. When you've been watching a bloke play for as long as he has and the vision that he has, then you'd have to say that that was an intentional kick.
Hey, final word on a whole heap of issues still to come. We've got plenty more. Jump on 1300 736 736. Your messages are flying through as well. Ben Brown not far away. John Brown and Sam Pang after 8.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
That's great feedback coming through. People invested. New revelation. The ball moves quickly, try to score. It's been this way since I was a junior in the 70s. Well, that's the whole point. It stopped being that way. Footy stopped going forward and trying to get goals. It was becoming bogged down in the mire in the back half. So there were changes put in place by Stephen Hocking and his group, and now the ball's moving again. That's a good thing. Paul keeps wanting to talk about Caroline Wilson and Kane Corns, how they hate North Melbourne. That's got nothing to do with us, Paul. If you think that's the
wrong
case,
show.
Then you need to ring up when Corn's on. Well, we can't speak for them.
What did you think of Horn Francis?
Ah, superb. Absolutely superb.
Did it remind you of anyone?
Oh, he's Buckley incarnated.
Isn't
he's
what?
Nathan Buckley all over, the way he holds might have himself.
He might have a quicker step to him than Bucks ever had,
you
though.
You can deal with that with Bucks, but
not that Bucks was slow, but he's got some real pace, hasn't he?
You can see what all the fuss has been about, can't
Mikey
you?
Moses.
They were great. The Port Adelaide Footy Club were great. And finally, that young group who we continued to – it just rolled off your tongue.
Mm.
Rosie Butters and Desma. And Rosie then last year went, well, let me just separate myself from those other two because we're not getting where – all the hype about us, we're not living up to it. Well, he did last year.
Mm.
And maybe Butters has jumped on.
Yeah, Desma.
Desma.
There's super young talent there.
There is.
Super young
there
talent.
There is. So they were exciting to watch. You've got a problem with the Giants and you've got a problem with Gold Coast. Are you an anti-expansionist?
I beg your pardon?
Are you an anti-expansionist?
No, not at all.
You want to fold both those teams? Do you want to finish them up?
No, I don't. I don't.
What do you want to do with them then?
No, I don't. I just I don't want to finish them up. I was more than impressed with GWS at the weekend. The way they came back, like LC Green was unbelievable.
Lean, clean, green.
Yeah, lean, clean,
green. LCTG.
And the other boy, the former skipper, was very nice around the centre as well in the second. Cornelia, he was unbelievable.
Tom Green was, Toby Green.
And Toby Green was great up front, all that sort of stuff.
So what's your problem with him?
No, I don't have a problem with him.
You said I'm not sure they're going to make it.
No, I didn't say that.
What did you
I didn't say that.
Like it wasn't listening. I
said,
I was only half listening.
I was saying how about, you know, the crowd was so low up there. Again, I know
well,
it was a hot day.
They were hidden. It was
I
hot.
Know. Well, there's only 7,500 there at Giants.
That is
okay.
A problem. That is
well,
a problem.
It's got to be a concern. I know. I hear all the conversations about, you know, we're getting memberships and all that type of thing. Well, maybe, hopefully, some of those people will start to attend those games as well.
Yeah.
I made the point to you. I know what you're trying to get at here. I made the point to you. If I was playing my first game of AFL football and that was it, if I was debuting for either Adelaide at the weekend or I was debuting for the Giants and I stepped out there and I played that as my first game of AFL football in front of that paltry crowd,
yeah,
I'd be a little bit disappointed as a young man growing up watching
and
AFL think football.
7,000
thinking this is
going to
be, you know, the elite competition, this is going to be my dream game.
That's
it was
fair.
Ordinary. It was ordinary. Well, let us say that without saying that we need to fold the Giants and send them somewhere else down to
Tassie
or somewhere like that. You can just say that the crowd was
Scheisenhausen. Did you say you wanted to send them to Tassie?
No, I didn't say I wanted
Oh, you didn't
to send
say
them.
That?
No, I did not. Oh. I did not say
I thought
that.
That's
I
what you said.
No, I didn't. The playing surface was ticked off. The only people we want to hear about,
right.
This is the thing, right? You don't want to hear about, I walked the playing surface at the MCG. It looked fine, okay? I spoke to people there. They said it was going to be great. The only people you want to hear about are the people that actually played on the ground and what they thought about it. And some of them thought that it was less than 100% and less than what the MCG surface should be.
There was varied feedback, they said. Some said they didn't have a problem. Others thought that there was an inconsistency between the new turf and the old.
Mm.
Let's take this aside, right? Take that aside, brother. Mm. The ground inspection is the greatest lip service in world sport. The AFL's ground inspections is the greatest act of just tokenism and box ticking in world sport.
You're only saying that because you believe that the ground inspection was conducted by me when we shot the promo there the other day, and I walked off the ground and I said it's okay.
Tim.
I gave a thumbs up to Stuart Fox there at the MCG. Tim. He okayed it.
Yeah.
I think he got straight on the phone to the AFL and said, look, Whispers said the ground's okay. The game will go ahead at the weekend.
So Ralphie says the MCG says no worries. Their independent turf consultant has ticked off the ground Monday morning. So let's just go through the scenario. They laid the turf last, whatever it was, Tuesday, Wednesday.
It was about 10 days before they played, yeah.
Okay. In what world, in what universe, in what fantasy was anyone going to walk out onto the MCG last Wednesday and go, now listen, Gil, come down here, got some bad news. I know you got it scheduled for 88,000 on Thursday, 88,000 on Friday. I know you got Saturday night 50,000 and another 60 on Sunday, but guess what? We're not playing here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, the turf's no good and we're not playing here.
Agreed.
In what fantasy is that ever happening?
That's never going to happen.
Don't go through the charade of going, oh, yeah, we've ticked off on that.
Was the game compromised, though, in your mind in any way?
I didn't think so, but I wasn't out there.
Okay, so it's a non-issue really then, isn't it?
Well, it's not if you're Sam Doherty, who's had two ACLs, and we were at the ground, you were at the ground.
Yep.
He was walking that ground at 4:30.
Yeah.
And I had my binoculars. Yep. I thought, oh, I always like to see
Oh, you had the binoculars out
there? Yeah, I had the Knox. Yeah. So he was that first little nipsey out there. And
it was
him. And then he came out and said, on AW over the weekend, he said, yeah, I walked it and I came off with concerns. So, you know, it might be good and well for the bloke in the suit saying, oh, the grass is magnificent. Well, you know, you're not playing on it.
Chris Scott said that he wasn't going to say anything about it because it wasn't his area of expertise, and then he just launched into it, which I loved. When you line it up like he did and you say, okay, well, you've got the great showcase, the showpiece of the AFL in terms of venues. You're playing the opening game there in front of 88, maybe 90,000 people, and it's possibly going to be compromised and not be at its best because, you know, 2 weeks before that opening game there was a concert there, and you think, well, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Why would you compromise the playing surface and the AFL football season in any way so that you can have a concert then? Like, the time to have the concert is some other time of the year when you're not going to compromise the AFL season.
Yeah, that is true. They could have had the monster trucks there and dug the joint down to the halfway to China. Oh, and
Huxley would have been there. If they had their monster trucks there, Huxley would have been right there front and centre.
And the AFL still would have said, yes, we've ticked off on the surface and those four massive games are going ahead because they aren't going to ever be played anywhere else, Tim.
Right.
End of story. Ben Brown's going to join us from the Demons in a moment. I just want to talk about why it's important for clubs to get their house in order and try to, you know, to be as competitive as they can, because if you're not, you'll lose your players, right? Because they want to play in games that are relevant and big crowds and all that sort of stuff. So Tom Mitchell, and I know he's a little bit, he's not a mercenary, but he's of that opinion, yeah, I want to be playing in big games. So his averages over the last 2 years playing for Hawthorn, in 2021 he averaged 34 touches.
Yeah.
34.
Yeah.
2022, 28, right? Largely went through the whole season unspoken about last year. So he just, that's Tom Mitchell doing what Tom Mitchell does. He goes to a big game, a big team, on the biggest stage. He had 21, like.
Yep.
21, 9 kicks, 12 handballs, 2 goals. That was, and all of a sudden Tom Mitchell's back to his Brownlow Medal best, right?
Clearances.
Yeah, all that stuff. But it's because he's playing on...
Yeah.
In a game that matters, and so he didn't have 34 like the average in 21. He had 21.
But they would have loved that game.
No, of course, and I loved it, and you loved it, and everyone that's watching loved it, and he would have walked away going, well, that's the difference between playing for a side who's not competing. That, so if your team's down the bottom, that's why you're so desperate, because your players in the end will go, I want to play in meaningful matches. I want to be judged on big stages. No one was judging Tom Mitchell on these 34 possessions, averaged 34 possessions in 2021.
No, they weren't. It's a very good point, a very good point. Ross Lyon and his coaching performance at the weekend.
Outstanding.
Are they going to be, even with their players out at the moment, they've got a number of very good players that can't play at the moment, are they still going to be one of the more difficult sides to play against?
To score against.
Yeah, yeah. To play against, yeah.
Yeah.
In that area. Like, he will find a way
60 inside 50s
of conjuring up a game plan Whether they're going to be good enough to be able to stick at it for four quarters.
You're speaking of Western Australian sports footy-loving public, and now you've sold them onto me. You could get an apology from a lot of people over there in the West.
Why is that?
Well, you had St Kilda in the eight and Fremantle out, and they thought you'd gone certified.
Did they?
Bonkers.
Did they?
Like bonkers.
Name them.
Sausage.
Who else?
Sausage and Scotty.
Did they think that I'd gone bonkers?
Yep, absolutely bonkers.
Well, they may not make
Dennis
the finals.
Dennis thought you'd gone bonkers?
Dennis did. Oh, no, I made that up. He wouldn't say that. Hey, he wouldn't say a bad word about me, Dennis.